Let's continue in Scripture this morning with our gospel lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. Listen with me again now for God's word for us today. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives it light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works, and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A story of salt and light. It's the kind of news you don't want to hear. She needed brain surgery. My sister, my bright and gentle sister, had an aneurysm. Around her ICU bed after surgery, we felt relief and joy. Things had gone so well. My parents even headed back home, and another sister did too. Things were moving in a good direction. But change from there happened rapidly. First, a horrible headache that nothing could relieve. Then my gentle, quiet sister became agitated. She wanted out of the bed. She couldn't be reasoned with. What's happening? She begged me to answer with fear in her sweet eyes. Eyes that seemed to look past me into some other dimension. Her agitation then gave way to a strange kind of sleep. At first it was a relief, but then it felt like she was fading. She was not responsive. In just a matter of a few hours, my bright and gentle sister was seizing. And we couldn't figure out what was going on. Everyone was called back. This is a story about a lot of things. A lot of things I can't tell you here. It's a story about family. It's a story of lives changed forever. But most of all, it's a story of salt and light. The doctors finally figured out that my sister's body was in a free fall because some switch had been flipped, maybe from extreme pain, maybe some glitch in her brain, but something had told her body to dump all the sodium in her system. And without salt, we cannot live. Sodium creates equilibrium. It moderates blood pressure, nerve function, hydration of cells, muscles, fluid levels in the body. Salt is a key ingredient for life. And its power is that it balances relationships for the entire system. The doctor explained to my family, you just can't go in and quickly replace sodium to get the body back to health. You have to do it slowly. You have to monitor the relationships of the sodium to other factors of the body. Replacing sodium too quickly can cause harm that can never be repaired. It can even cause death. For days, my sister was unresponsive. No light in her eyes. We hoped that her body was slowly recalibrating to some balance that would bring her back. And so we waited. We waited for salt and light. Now, salt is used to preserve, to refine, to purify. And at the time Jesus spoke these words, salt was a precious commodity. Eating salt with someone was a sign of friendship and loyalty. Now, any cook worth his or her salt knows that salt is a time-tested way to prepare meat for consumption. When salt first hits the meat, it pulls the moisture out. That's why meat will be dry if you salt it too late or right before you cook. But if you give salt time to penetrate the meat starts to take back in the moisture, and salt reacts with the proteins and the muscle fibers, and in time it actually begins to dissolve them, making the meat tender. And because the meat is tender, because it's soft, it absorbs the flavor of the salt and any other seasoning you might add. Now, if you don't think ahead and you don't get your meat salted before you cook, but you want to achieve the same result, you have some options. One cookbook puts it this way: you can squish it, hack it, or drown it. When time is short, when you didn't think ahead, or maybe when you're a little impatient, you can choose between different forms of violent force to get what you want. The slow, gentle, potent ways of salt stand in contrast to the force of the meat mallet. Now, the wisdom of my Mississippian grandmother was that you use salt in all cooking, early and often, along with butter, of course. I have a vivid memory of my grandmother in a mournful tone telling us that the doctor had told her she needed to cut back on salt. "Truly?" my grandmother said to my mother, whose name is Truly. "Truly? He told me I have to leave the salt off the table. Too much salt is not good for you. Not enough salt is not good for you. Salt that has lost its saltiness is not worth a thing. Forget the salt, and your options become much more forceful." And Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." That's you. That's me. That's us. Salt. Salt of the earth. What Jesus is saying here is categorically different than what we've come to understand this phrase, salt of the earth, to mean. When we say someone is salt of the earth, we mean that person is sturdy, a good person, down to earth, strong stock, dependable, trustworthy. But Jesus is not talking about the moral status of a person here. He's talking about the function of the church. We are not to try and be like salt. We are salt. And we're not just salt for the church or for our families. We are salt of the earth, preserving, seasoning, creating well-being and balance, opening, bringing the things that are out of whack into God's intended kingdom state. So when things are out of whack, it's the church's purpose to address them, to be salt. That means injustice is our problem. That means lack of mercy is our problem. Now, fasting, God tells the exiled people of Israel in the Isaiah passage today, fasting is not about personal piety. It is about community transformation. It is the fruit of fasting that indicates the righteousness of the fast, not the act of fasting itself. And fasting is clearly tied to justice and mercy. Unjust, unmerciful relationships are a sure measure of an unrighteous fast. Our spiritual and religious practices are empty if the relationships that define us are not just, are not loving, are not merciful. God is condemning false righteousness, an empty, fruitless practice. What motivates us, what animates us, matters. And what folds out of our practices together matters. Our fast must not be fruitless. Our practices need salt. And salt doesn't exist for its own sake. It exists for the effect, for the change, for the transformation that it brings about in other things. You are salt of the earth. Salt that has lost its saltiness is useless. Did the church lose its saltiness? Salt reacts with all the other factors around it. Did the church get too mixed up or watered down or diluted by all the variables in the world around us? Did the church cede its salty job to sodium substitutes in our world? Or worse yet, to the human version of the meat mallet? Have we squandered our identity, our purpose, our saltiness? Because you see, we don't have a choice. Following Jesus requires us to be salt. It doesn't invite us to discern whether we'd like to be salt or not. Or whether we prefer to be sugar, or lemon zest, or oregano. To let ourselves be salt, to be salted, is to let Jesus' power sink in over time. To let Him make us more porous, more open, more seasoned to being like Him, to being His body. In a world of betrayal and violence, in a world of creativity and beautiful possibilities. As Christians, we're called to be open, not impenetrable. We're called to have an impact. We're called to have an effect on the world, not to be bland, not to blend in and go unnoticed. Salty Christians become more open over time. And Jesus is asking for disciples who are not afraid to be salt, who are not afraid to soak in His truth and be changed, be refined, be preserved, and seasoned to be salt on this spinning planet that we call home. Neither salt nor light exists for themselves. Salt is only salt in relationship with other things. And it's only salt when it has an impact. A seasoning, equalizing, opening impact. And light does not exist to bring attention to itself, but to shine. So that we can see the world around us clearly. Light exists to illuminate. So you see, our story is a story of salt and light. Jesus calls us salt and light. This is not a call to individuals. It's not even a call to the church. Salt and light are not our aspirations. They are our essence. If we have lost our saltiness, if we do not illuminate, then we are not the church. And then we are not those who can claim to taste and see the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. A fast without the fruits of justice is no fast at all. It is an act of vanity, even an act of futility. The fruits of our practice together are the true measure of who we are in the world. This world that needs salt. Salt to survive. Salt to thrive. This world that needs light to see itself. To know itself. I was there at my sister's bedside when she woke up and said hello to life again. I can't tell you how it felt. It was too real. It was too true. Maybe you've had a moment like that, when hope breaks open a new beginning. When you stopped waiting for salt and light and realized anew the promise of right now to begin again. The church is revitalized at this table. This is the place, this table, where hope breaks open a new beginning. This is a place where we practice again and again what it means to be salt, what it means to be light. Because the truth is, this is no ordinary meal. This is no ordinary moment. In a world where people hoard more than they need and others go hungry. This is no ordinary place. In a world where walls are built and doors are slammed shut. And this is no ordinary table. In a world where truth is hard to come by. And those in power betray our trust instead of build it up. Because you see, this is a place that we can trust. This is a table of there is enough. This is a table of a place for everyone. This is a table of truth, hard truth, liberating truth. And this is a table that points beyond itself. Outside of this place. To a world that calls for salt, a world that calls for light. This is a table that reminds us we are Christ's hands and feet in this world. We are messengers and carriers of his mercy, his love, his justice. Friends, this is a table where we remember we are salt. We are light.